Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Love Talk Radio.
Wow, good morning, good morning, good morning, family. Good morning, good morning. This is the Love Journey, Inc. I am Janine Ann Ingram, your transformational life coach. Yes, and today is Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe. Today is July 1st. Can you believe we are already in the seventh month of the year? Wow, God is good. God is amazing. All right, let's see. As we move through today, I just want to remind us that God is amazing. And today is Friday. Happy Friday, family. Happy Friday, Friday, Friday. Wow. I'm going to do Anita Baker again. Have I told you I love you lately? If you... Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to this new day where everything is washed away. This is the Love Journey, Inc. Yes, you tuned in to the Love Journey, Inc. And yes, I am Janine Ann Ingram, your transformational life coach. I am that I am. And yes, we're going to get ready and turn within. As we move into this beautiful experience, the Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe, you know, that happens on Fridays. And I'm excited we're in a new book, Overcoming Under-Earning. Yes, I'm excited today to share and hear. And, wow. Let's get ready and turn it in. Recognizing the one power, the one presence. On this line, we recognize that great source, the great spirit, the infinite wisdom, as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so we're going to take in a deep breath as we become still and know that I am God. Take in a deep breath. Breathing in through our nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight and release through the mouth. Let's breathe, family. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. And last time. And release as we prepare our minds to invite and invoke the presence of the mighty I Am Christ consciousness in each and every one of us. As we bring every cell in our body, every muscle fiber into alignment, into agreement, in healing our relationship to money. We ask that Raphael come and cleanse our heart today. Cleanse our emotional body to open us to receive all of the abundance of the universe, to receive the greatness in the forms of love, joy, happiness, success, yes, money, substance. As every part of our body becomes a part of that agreement, we give thanks right now. As we hear Ayana Venzant bring in the prayer of forgiveness, forgiving.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money.
Wow. Amen, 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 amen. And so it is. And so it is. Whew, that was powerful. As we prepare ourselves for our gratitude meditation, we give thanks for our relationship to money. We give thanks for all that is and all that will ever be, understanding that money is just another form of God's energy. We give thanks for that opportunity to be in gratitude.
Gratitude Meditation. This guided meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of gratitude within your mind and body. Gratitude is the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. It is an expression of deep appreciation within yourself that is extended outward. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. As you take a long, deep inhale, focus your attention and your energy right in the center of your chest, the center of love within your being. And breathe into the center of your chest, holding the thought form, I am so grateful. And exhale that breath. Again, breathing directly into the center of your chest, I am so grateful. And allow that breath to be released. And see, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that someone you love unconditionally and someone you know loves you unconditionally is standing right before them. See them with your mind's eye. If you can't see them, feel their presence. And if you can't feel their presence, just imagine that they're there, or set an intention that this person that I love unconditionally, who loves me unconditionally, is standing right before me. Eye to eye, heart to heart, soul to soul. and as if you could speak directly into their heart and into their being, simply say, "Thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to love you. I'm so grateful." And take a long, deep inhale. And exhale. And allow the feeling, the experience, the expression of gratitude to fill your being from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. Allow it to radiate and vibrate within you as you hold the thought for, "I am so grateful, grateful, grateful I am. I am grateful for this moment, this life, this time, this experience." Just breathing gratitude. Long, deep inhale. "I am so grateful." Slow, complete exhale. "Grateful I am." Again, a long, deep inhale. "I am so grateful." And a slow, complete exhale. "Grateful I am." And breathe and experience the radiance of gratitude. And bring your awareness to the gentle ebb and flow of your breath. And together we take a long, deep inhale in and drop it with the sound of again, a long, deep inhale and drop it. And wiggle your toes and your fingers, and give your body a big stretch, allowing the energy to be balanced and reintegrated at all levels of your being. And whenever you're ready, you may open your eyes and focus on something in the room as you take a long, deep inhale and drop it. And allow yourself to just bask in the radiance of gratitude. And as you move into your day, be sure to do something good for you. And be blessed.
Wow, you're tuned in to the Love Journey. This is the Love Journey Inc. family, and I am Janine Ann Ingram, your transformational life coach. Today is Friday, July 1st. Happy Friday, family. Happy Friday. This is the Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe Day, and you know I absolutely love, love, love Fridays to talk about the opportunity to shift our relationship with money. All right, we're going to dive in this thing up. We're going to open ourselves up as we come out of that opportunity to love and being grateful. Just simply being grateful for all that God has given us, all that God has allowed us to be and show up in this planet. Today is a good day. It's a good day to know who you are and what you are. You know, sometimes we move through life and we forget that we've been given such a magnificent opportunity to be blessed this morning. And I just want us to acknowledge our gift to the planet, called you. I want you to remember that you are a gift today, and that no one can do what you've been called to do the way you've been called to do it. As we give thanks and bless our bodies and our lives and give thanks for our friends, family, and all the gifts that we have, we're going to play a little song. Byron Kate, I Will Bless the Lord.
Come on, I will bless his name. Is there anybody in this place that is here to bless him? Let me hear you make some noise. Come on, here we go. Magnify.
Magnify the Lord with me.
Come on, sing it to him, sing it.
Whom the Son he has redeemed.
Come on, set. Clap your hands.
You tuned in to The Love Journey. That was Byron Cage. I will bless the Lord. We're going to keep this experience moving. And yes, we are on July 1st. And this is Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe. We're going to go ahead and get our love song done so we can move right into our experience this morning. Go ahead and let's bring in Miss Jackie Jack, all the way from the Maryland area.
Yes, yes, yes. Good God. Morning, Lady Love. Peace and blessings to you on this beautiful, blessed day, July the 1st. How are you this morning?
I am absolutely fantastic.
Super fantastic. Family, good God morning to you, to our Blog Talk Radio family. Good God morning to our Love Journey Conference Call family. This is the part of the... This is part of our love experience where we plant that seed of love and we shower it with our love song. I love myself so much so that I can love you so much, so that you can love yourself so much, so you can keep on loving me. So come on, family, let's unmute our phones and let's do this on a count of three. One, two, three. Let's do it, family. I love myself. So much.
So much.
so I can love you so much. And you can love you so much.
So much.
So you can keep on loving me. Come on now. I love myself so much. So I can love you so much.
So much.
And you can love you so much.
So much.
So you can keep on loving me. Last time, come on. I love you so much.
So much.
So I can love you so much.
So much. So much.
And you can love me so much.
So much.
So you can keep on loving me. All right, family. We keep the love growing and we keep the love flowing because it is all about love. Namaste. Back to you, Lady Love.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's all about love. It really is all about love. You tuned in to the love journey. Yes, they call it a prayer line. I call it an experience, a love experience. Yes, I am Janine Ann Ingram, your transformational life coach. And today is, you know what today is? You know what today is? Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe. And yes, we're going to bring in our beautiful, amazing sister. My sister from another Miss. Yes. Miss Chastity A. Well. Good morning, family. Good morning, Chastity.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, love journey. Good morning, beautiful goddess. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. How are you?
Absolutely wonderful.
All right. Well, I see we got us a new book.
Yeah, I'm super excited about we having the opportunity to finally dive into Overcoming Under Earning.
Yes, yes. Exactly. Well, I'm turning it over to you. I was thinking we could start off with the fable. What you think?
The parable in the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great place to start because I thought the parable was a real good place and it really did set the tone for how we look at things in our lives and then just kind of open it up from there. But this is definitely one I believe people really, really, really want to be engaged in, even if you don't do as much talking over the line. But making sure you really do your journaling offline as well, especially with us doing the 40 Days of Abundance as well. So we are reading today in the Overcoming Under Earning Plan to a Richer Life by Barbara Stanny. And we're going to start in a parable, which is by Barbara Stanny. One of the quotes that in the beginning of it that I really did like that was pointed out by Robert Orban, said, "We have enough people, Janine, who tell us like it is. Now we can use a few people to tell us how it could be." So I thought that was pretty cool to start the story off. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Just to really help us understand the tone and how we're getting ready to go in this book. So I can really just read it, or how did you want to do it, or just kind of summarize it?
I thought we could read, you could read it or I could read it, whichever one you want to do, the parable, and really just hone in on why. Well, for me, the parable, even the first time I read it, and even rereading it again last night, I just love it. And I think it's really, well, I don't want to give it away until you read it, or however you want, if you want me to read it, however you want it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So we can go ahead and I'll just read it, kind of talk about it or whatever, because I think we both sound like we're going to be on the same track of what it ignited in both of us. So once upon a time, there was a farmer, here we go talking about farmers again, who lived at the edge of a forest where a horrible monster dwelled. The monster was mean and ugly and threatened to destroy everything. To protect himself, the farmer built walls around to protect his property, but no matter how high the walls the farmer built, or how strong they were, the monster tore them down. One day the farmer sat there at his feet, poking at the embers, trying to spark a flame. He was cold and he was tired. My life is becoming unmanageable. All I do is build and rebuild my walls. My crops are dying. My wife and children have left. My family rarely come around, and those who do only complain about the monster. I'm tired of living like this. I can't take it anymore. At that very moment, a fairy godmother appeared. She introduced herself to the farmer and offered a wish. I want the monster to go away, the farmer cried immediately. She told him, I can't make the monster disappear, but I can show you how you can do it. The farmer exclaimed, anything. I'll do anything. You must go into the woods and find the monster. Then look it right in the eyes and embrace it, the fairy godmother said. The farmer was horrified. I can't do that. It'll kill me. It already is killing you, the fairy godmother said gently. The farmer was silent. She was right. He had little to lose. All right, he said firmly. I'll do it. Know this, the fairy godmother said. You won't be alone. And in the instant, she was gone. The farmer was frightened but determined. Off in the woods, he went deeper and deeper. He traveled, crazy, he thought, pushing back branches. I've spent my whole life trying to keep the monster away, and now I'm going looking for it? How do I find this will work? How do I know that this will work? Why am I taking this risk? He was just about to turn back when he heard a fierce growl. He felt the earth trembling, and there, miles above him, loomed the most hideous creature he had ever seen. The farmer stood frozen. He wanted to run back to his walls, back to safety, to his cold, lonely cabin. And something kept him there, and he knew what it was. His pain had gotten worse than his fear. Pain had gotten worse than his fear. So I thought that was good to repeat again. His pain had gotten worse than his fear. So he looked up right there into the monster's eyes, and something amazing happened. The monster started shrinking. Smaller and smaller it grew until it was no bigger than he was. Then the farmer went over and touched it cautiously. Embrace it. He heard the words echo from a distance. The farmer took a deep breath, and he put his arms around the monster's neck, tentatively at first, then more willingly. And at his surprise, the monster became so tiny it could fit in the palm of his hand. He scooped it up and stared at it. It was no longer a threat, but the farmer, sudden thought. What if it grew back? Again, he heard the assuring voice. When you learn to face what makes you fearful, it need never to control you again. So again, when you learn to face what you're fearful of, it need never to control you again. At last, the farmer was free. All the energy he had put into building walls was building for his new life. His shoulders grew straighter. His smile cracked his face. I had this power all along, he realized in amazement. Imagine what's possible now. The voice whispered back, believe me, this is only the beginning. So that was a parable that started off this book that we're getting ready to start, Overcoming Under Earning by Barbara Stanley. And that was a parable by Barbara Stanley. And I loved it, Janine, because it really did remind me of how fear is in our lives, how crippling it is. I mean, you know, we go around building these walls just like he did in his life. And instead of just really embracing it and just dealing with it, he was just building more walls, and it just isolated him from his family. He lost everything. And I love the one point that I read twice because this is the only time that we move. This is the only time that I see that people move. It's when the pain becomes worse than the fear, is when people actually move into action. So that's why I really wanted to read that again, because sometimes people say, well, I want to do this or I want to do that. But it's typically when it becomes, or to do anything else, And you don't have any more excuses to be fearful as when you typically move forward. So I love this story. And like you said, the process is really only beginning. So I thought that was pretty dope. What did you take away from it?
From the parable, so many things, you know how we get where our life is overwhelming, unmanageable, and everything is falling apart. I could identify because I remember even way before this point in my life when things fell apart and it seemed like you just doing stuff and it just seemed like you were in a cycle, just turning around in circles and you build something and then rebuilding and, oh, my God, and it just seems to fall apart. And what I really like about this book is because what happens is those things happen when we don't look fear in its eyes, when we don't look at stuff and actually deal with it. And that's what this parable is really about, facing fear and looking it in its eye and saying, hey, I'm not afraid of you. What you here for and what we going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And that's what I love, because she told him to embrace the monster. But what she's saying is look fear in his eye. Until we deal with our money, because it's really about our money, you know, that we're going to be talking about, our money will deal with us. We won't have the things that we need. And that's what I love about this parable, because it's actually looking fear in his eye. Says when you learn to face what makes you fearful, it will never control you again. And another thing she said in this parable is that, remember, you are never alone. You are never alone. Yeah, it's so interesting how we run away from the monster. Meaning we avoid the bill collectors. We don't open our mail. We won't deal. And when we don't, it just builds and builds and builds and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And when we face that monster, it shrinks and gets smaller and smaller and smaller. That's why I love this symbolicness of what this parable means for me.
Good morning. And, you know, as he saw, Rosa J here, as he saw the monster, visualizing it, the monster shrank. Change your perception of how you see it, and it will change your whole aura, your whole concept of it. So the more he looked at it, the smaller it got. Your problem is not as huge as you really think it, and you're not the only one who has ever had it. And like you said, Janine, you are never alone. So when you change your perception of the problem, when you look at it and you change your perception, it changes.
Yeah, that's true.
And why do we have to wait till our pain, till we're sick and tired of being sick and tired before we even face it? He said his pain got worse than his fear. He was so tired of being in pain that he just didn't even care about the fear no more. Wow, I was like, I've been there. I've been to in all these spaces right here. This is just like my own story written right here.
Yours is my Eugenie, and it is just amazing. We have to be in serious angst and anxiety before we do an action. You know, and some of us don't even move into the action, so we remain in the pain and don't think that there's a, you know, a lot of us just love pain because we get more attention. But once we get to the point where we can't stand ourselves anymore, you know, it's like, I can't stand it anymore. Before we even take an action, oh, it's too hard. I ain't gonna do that. No, do it so that your life will change. But you're right, humans are hard headed, we're selfish, we're ego, all that. But our purpose here is to change.
Yes, yes, yes. Good share. Thank you so much, Rose. Very true. Very true. Anybody else have anything else they wanted to add?
if you are on Blog Talk and you want to add something, remember to press the 1 so we'll know that you want to add something to the conversation. You want to add your voice. Push 1 if you're on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.
Yeah. That ain't a conversation unless everyone is involved. That's the fun part, is involving everyone. All right. So, yeah, that is definitely the truth of the matter, looking at everything from there. So I think that's the cool part, is being able to really embrace it and get ready to look at the fear of it all, looking at our money situations, looking at, you know, facing the fact whether you have bill collectors calling you or whatever is really going on with your, whatever your financial situation is, whatever that looks like. Everyone's financial situation is different. Some people don't have bill collectors calling. However, you know, you may want to earn more money or you may want to donate more, but you haven't really found the way to really allot certain money over, to earmark it over. So there's a lot of other areas how we all get stuck financially. And I think the cool part about this book is it's going to really unlock it for everyone and really help us all go from one area to another, and not just if you are just living in poverty or whatever the case may be, but you can already be making a substantial living, but go from that to your best living. And that's the part that really excites me, is that the stories that Barbara have in this book will really help speak to us all, just like that parable did, and really help unlock the rest of the stories and even within us all. So I'm excited about it, and I'm really ready to go into the introduction and the rest of the book, Janae. You all ready?
Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of wanted to talk about what keeps us in fear. What makes us keep us in fear? Like, for instance, you know, when the IRS came after me, I couldn't understand why the IRS was after me. I had did everything right. I had accountants. I had tax people. How could I kept saying to myself, how could I owe the IRS $30,000 when I seriously told the people, never, don't cheat on my taxes. Make sure you do it right. I don't want nothing extra. Whatever I owe, let me pay it. That's, I was always saying that to my tax people. So I couldn't believe I get laid off from my job. 3 months later, I get a letter saying that I'm being audited. After being audited, I end up owing $30,000, and you don't know the debilitating fear that I felt. And my auntie kept saying, the only way you're going to beat the IRS is to release the fear. You got to read the paper. She said every year the laws change, and so everybody who claimed to be a tax profession don't know it. And even the tax people from the IRS don't know the laws for every year. So you got to know the law. And I kept saying, I don't want to read. So I sat and read that little piece, little bitty writing, and read all that stuff. But it took me facing my fear. And you don't know how many days I was in the bed not wanting to face it, because I thought the IRS was bigger than me. And I just was so in such fear. And I look back on it, why was I in fear? Because I know that my God is bigger than the IRS.
Yes.
But what kept me procrastinating? Why did I not want to read? Why did it take me forever to really get to dissecting so that I could support and help myself? And when I really think about it, it was because the lack of way I always handled everything. You know, I put everything in my professional's hands, but I never really looked behind them. I just signed my documents, never really looking behind the people who was doing what they was doing, because I trusted they was the professional in everything. They was the professional over my money. And I had to stop and say, I'm the professional over my own money. So when they doing what they doing, you check behind them. So I had to really check myself, even when I – girl, let me tell you, I was so bad with my finances that I would put my money in the bank and just spend and then hope I didn't go over. Like, and then when I got to Marquardt, I wouldn't even look at my money. It was just terrible how I was handling my finances. The fear and how I handled my money was really something I had to grow into. So for me, most of it was the way I was taught to deal with money. You know, the fear coming up, because when I grew up in different households, you know, the way people reacted when you came asking for money or things like that, it built up this fear in me about money.
Very true.
So I had to learn how to release that. Do you know what I mean, Jay?
No, that's very true. That's very true. And I think that's a very good point that many people can really identify with, is because a lot of times we don't know where we get the psychology with our money or where we learn in these behaviors. But a lot of it is because of how we were taught to identify with our money, whether that's not talking about the money at all, whether that's allowing the professionals to deal with it, and that's great to actually have advisors and trusted people to give us advice about it, but this is our money energy. We're the ones that are actually out there doing the service and doing the work, so we're doing a disservice to ourselves and not showing up in our true God selves by not going over it with that person, because that's still showing up like a child, you know, that's giving them all the power, you understand? Like, that's still being like a kid. Like, here, you do it, Mom. You do it, Dad. I'm gonna just go to work in the yard, and you do it. So we just, you know, we continue to live like that. Eventually, we end up having to deal with the actual repercussions behind it. So we sow those type of seeds, we'll reap the type of fruit that bears, and you end up having to really learn. So I think that's a great story that you did share with it. And that's how we learn, is going through those different type of things. No, it don't feel great. It don't feel sexy, but I bet you now, Janine, ain't nobody else going to be able to just do your taxes and, you know, evade the IRS or nothing else like that. So I'm sure even if they do services, anyone do services for you, you know, you'll still know how to effectively ask the appropriate questions. But those type of things only really happen with our experience. So I think that's the amazing part of life. So, yeah, I definitely do agree. And then we learn the psychology of coming together on Friday and doing Millionaire Mind and gaining better conversations around money, and knowing how to feel more comfortable asking those questions, even the questions we don't know, because sometimes we don't know, because we ain't come from talking about it. So it's like our own little gentle format and form over here. So.
Yes. Okay, you can move on, or however you want to move. I just wanted to see if anybody wants to talk about, where do our fear come from, and how did we have to? Because I know I did. I really did. And Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe has been such a blessing for me. I don't know if it's been for me, but it's been a blessing for me to be more intentional about my relationship to my money. When I open my bank account app, I'm blessing my money and thanking my money. And pretty much, I tell you, I've been in the black. I tell people all the time. I say, you know, people always talk about the word black, negative and everything, but, you know, people don't realize that the people who created the word black for money, they was on time, because ain't nothing like being in the black when it comes to your money.
Yes, God.
Because, you know, before when I was mishandling my money, I stayed in the red a lot. I tell you, like, what in the world? I remember one time calling my auntie, auntie, they're stealing my money out this bank.
Okay, listen. And when we learn better, we continue to do better. And that's what I love about the Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe as well. It's just because as we continue to go over the information, it can be information we've heard before, but until we're really applying it, you can't say you know it. You know, because we're so quick to say, oh, I know that. Are you applying it? Because if you're not applying it and living it, you don't know it. You just heard it before. So this gives us the opportunity to really start applying certain principles in our own lives so we're able to live our God-blessed life. And like Janine said, stay in the black for our money and with our money and just really creating a better conversation relationship with our money.
I think that's good, too, conversation and relationships with my money. That's good. We can keep it moving. I mean, I just wanted to really stop and just be transparent with ourselves.
Yes,
how we have been in that fear and think about our own story as we move through.
Mm. Yes, God. Oh, no. Yes. So we start with, in this book, the one thing that I really enjoy, Janine, that Robert Stanley is good at is using other people's stories. And that's what really kept me intrigued and engaged, because it wasn't like she was just telling a book or just, you know, just narrating a story. It really allowed her to use other people's stories, and we all could identify with somebody's story along with books. So even if you don't identify with the first person's book or the first person story, it's someone's story within the book that you'll really be able to identify with and really start dealing with your own money blueprint and really help release some different things that you have going on. So that's what I really love about it. And so in the introduction, she starts, and I love these little things that she starts off with too, that says, "I'm Born to Fly." It's a country western song. It says, "And how do you keep your feet on the ground when you know you were born to fly?" How cool is that? So, in this story, I didn't want to spend the whole time reading everybody's story, but in this next story, I'll read the first couple of parts of it, and then we'll just kind of summarize it from there, just so we can get a good understanding of what's going on. But it was talking about, it said, my story, which is another person that she used. It said, "Money had always been a slippery slope. I didn't get a grip on managing it until my mid-40s. So a lot of times people be embarrassed talking about, you know, they don't have a money situation together, but this woman was in her mid-40s before she got it together, like many people, like many helpers, right? And only then, after disaster struck, making it took another decade. Growing up, my father, Richard Block, the co-founder of H&R Block, had only one piece of financial advice for me. Don't worry. The meaning of this was unmistakable. You have a trust fund, and besides, a man will take care of you. By gender and generation, it was how he had been brought up, and honestly, I believed it. And so I eagerly, so did I, eagerly. The accepted wisdom for men of his age was that women didn't need to understand finances. In fact, the less they knew, the better. And that was fine with me. I wasn't interested in understanding money. I just wanted to spend it. Then it says, now I know better. I am convinced that if you don't deal with your money will deal with you. I underline that. It said, now I know better. I'm convinced that if you don't deal with your money will deal with you, often in ways you never expect. So I think this gives us all an opportunity to really start dealing with some things instead of waiting for life. Well, I'm sure we've all been living long enough. It's already started dealing with us. But this gives us the opportunity to really understand the lessons and correct it. But anyway, moving on, it said, that's how it was for me. Neither my father nor I expected that my husband, a financial advisor by profession, would lose a substantial portion of my inheritance, that after our divorce, I'd get $1 million bill for taxes he hadn't paid, illegal deals he had gotten us into, and I certainly never expected. And when I asked my father to lend me the money for those back taxes, that he say no. Could you imagine that? So I realize now that his refusal was the best thing that he could have ever done for me. At that time, I was furious. Even more, I was terrified. Suddenly, my secure little world was swirling out of control. I was alone in a treacherous waters, wondering how in the hell I was going to keep myself and my three daughters afloat. For months, I drifted in a daze, punctuated by the waves of icy panic. It felt so unfair. Eventually, However, I got fed up with fear and self-pity. My children were my motivation. I knew that staying stupid was not an option. I had to get smart and get smart fast. Fortunately, I found a very astute financial counselor, Karen McCall. Unfortunately, I refused to listen to what she had to say. "You're an under-earner," she told me quite bluntly. I wasn't quite sure what she meant. She explained that I had been earning way below what I could be making. If she said that, if she said more, I didn't hear it. A white hot bolt of shame ripped through me. I felt naked, as if it was incompetent had exposed me for the world to see. My knee-jerk reaction was to go on the defense. I'm not an under-earner. I'm a writer. This made perfect sense to me. Everyone knows writers don't make any money. Being labeled an under-earner was so embarrassing that I got ignored, that I ignored her advice, and instead it dove headfirst into the bewildering world of finance, determined to get back on my feet with money I felt I had left. I took classes, I read books, I consulted professionals, watched TV shows on TV. I watched money shows on TV. But to no avail, my brain fogged up, my eyes glazed over, I felt hopelessly stupid. Then destiny intervened, as it frequently does when you're really committed. That's right. I was hired for a project to research financially savvy women. Simply from interviewing those smart women, I not only figured out how to manage money I had left, but become an expert on empowering women around the subject of money. I wrote a book, Prince Charming Isn't Coming, how women get smart about money, and travel the country teaching financial education to women. No matter how hard I worked long and hard. You can ask my three daughters, I cannot seem to make much money. Then one day, my agent, Candace, called with a book idea. Interview women who are making a lot of money. I immediately hated it. I pictured cold, aloof, designer dress snobs, leagues above me, totally intimidating, if not downright boring. Then it hit me. If this is what I thought of these successful women, how could I ever let myself become one? This was the first inkling that my belief could be holding me back. I love that. I love how she had that aha moment right there. So she went on and she interviewed 154 high earners, and several of them were writers. And then I just wanted to just kind of speed through it now, because I'm realizing we're almost at the top of the hour. These women were wonderful, not at all what she had expected. They were indeed supremely confident, but this was startling to me. Every single one grappled with fear and self-doubt. Many felt like a fraud, and they were afraid others would find out. I could completely relate. The biggest difference between them and me, I realized, is that they didn't let self-doubt stop them. Instead, they employed a series of strategies I was hearing about for the first time. And then I began leading overcoming under-earning workshops to field test what I was learning about these high earners to see if their strategies could empower others as well. In the middle of the research, a miracle occurred. My accountant informed me that I had earned six figures. I had seemingly incorporated their strategies into my life, which I'll share throughout this book. But the workshops became a powerful and often life-altering experience for those who participated. So I wanted to kind of stop there, give you an opportunity to kind of jump in real quick before we kind of summarize the rest of it, and then I guess give out the assignment for us to prepare for the weekend before we get back together next week.
Well, one of the things I really wanted to talk about is our relationship and our thought processes. You know, like for her, she grew up knowing that she was going to marry somebody to take care of. Now, we had a different kind of view. And, well, for me, I'm not sure, because Chassie's a little bit different in age group. But for my age group, most of the ladies were growing up thinking they could meet a basketball player or a football player. And so I remember growing up and us intentionally going to the basketball parties. And I was the only one who already had a man, but he was, you know, an electrician then. And $35 at 20, $40 an hour at 20 years old seemed like money. So we were all at the basketball games and going to the parties and football game parties to meet football players and basketball. But, you know, I was there for the fun of it. I guess in some ways if I thought, maybe if I get one, then I'll leave Brenda. I don't know what I was thinking, but I was having a lot of fun. But I remember, a lot of my friends dating the basketball players and the football players we were meeting and having conversations and stuff like that. And when I think back over it, none of them married them, the guys, because I guess the guys wasn't really looking to get married or whatever reasons why they didn't get married to any of them. But you think about the whole idea is that we would grew up with the thought process of being taken care of or instead of, and not say for my age group, I'm not sure what Chastity's group was taught, but that's what we were looking at in our group, in my surroundings, and never really thinking about how we, for me, I always thought about what I could do to make money and how I could make money and whatever, but I never thought about having a relationship with my money. I never thought about how I could have a relationship with my money. I thought about making it, but only to feed my ego to buy these big things that I wanted. So I'm saying that to say, you know, of course, culturally, our story is a little different, but in some ways, we were taught to, at least in my era, to grow up and think that a man could take care of us. And so some of us may still have that thought process, and maybe that's why we never learned to understand our own money and have financial freedom in our own life and become financially savvy with money and have a relationship. And so that's what I love about this story. It really is intentional about reminding us how to be intentional about our relationship. And because we're at the top of the hour, I would just like to kind of go over the questions at the end, if you don't mind, Chad.
Yeah. Yes, no, that's perfect. That's definitely perfect.
So do you want to kind of go over the question that she has at the end of the book, chapter? Because it was interesting, even though I read this book before, I looked to see how different my first answers was today. And this is called A Conversation with Ourselves. This is really important. Mm-hmm. And I guess we want to stress the importance of really journaling and writing during this process. So go ahead, I'm going to turn it over.
So at the end of this chapter, the whole point is we do these conversations with ourselves. So it says, to get started, how do you feel about working with this book? So we have to answer that. What are your immediate reactions or concerns? What would you look like if you had control over your life? Why do you think the parable about the farmer and the master was included in the book about overcoming under earning?
So for me,
the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No. I didn't know if you wanted to kind of talk about the question or how you were going to do it.
No, so I think that's the good part. Like at the end of all of these chapters, it gets us started just to really, instead of just going through the book and everyone just kind of jumping on and just kind of sharing and just having head knowledge and just sharing, it really puts us back into our heart space and really identify what did you feel, what did you think about, what are your reactions or concerns. If you have control over your life, like what does these things do? And even for myself, when I'm looking at my different answers, it's amazing the space that I was in, you know, just a year ago. And it's amazing, you know, to see the transformation even now. So it's great just to really do the work. So my goodness, I guess we just say just do the work and do the journaling, because life will really do it, but you got to put the pen to the paper to do it.
Well, one of the things I like about the conversation with myself was it's so important to write down our goals, to write it down, to write down things that we want to bring into our manifestation. And, you know, sometimes we get so caught up and busy that we don't take time to write it. So I love that we take time and get in our heart and really imagine what life would be if we were really in control of our money. What would that really look like for you? You know, along with this abundance, 40-day abundance program we're on, this is just really powerful to combine them both and really get intentional about how we want our life to be and how we want to be money experience. And it doesn't matter if you know, some people say, well, I'm on a fixed income, but if God is your source, you can never be on a fixed income. I just want to
come on, God.
Reiterate that to you. So I'm excited about the process. I'm excited about the book. I'm excited about answering questions. And I'm excited about being more intentional about this process. So I want to say thank you so much for leading us through the process.
Yes, and I just feel honored just to even go through this all with you all. And just thank you all for just your presence, your love and support, and just your energy. And just it just really, the accountability and all of it really has helped me as a woman stay accountable to myself and really stay bold and dealing with that old, my own monster of fear, and just really looking it in the face and evolving to becoming the woman that I am. So I love you guys, and I thank God for, you know, Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe, because it really, really, really gave me the opportunity to take the bull by the horns and take charge of my life, you know, in a God kind of way. So thank you, Janine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good day. I really appreciate this conversation that I'm graced to be a part of. You know, coming from a male perspective, hearing the intention of women in every generation, there was something different. But men were given such a hard charge to have to perform in every area of life that we couldn't even face the fact that we didn't know how to do anything to achieve it. We didn't have even when we came home, we didn't know how to face the fact that we didn't know how to be home. We didn't know how to be here. We didn't know how to bring our money to a vibration. We didn't. We had no idea, but we were given such a charge and society from our family, from the women that were in our lives, from those who weren't in our lives. I can't date you. You were in the wrong kind of shoes. What the hell that got to do with anything? But it put a fear in us that we were never good enough to be even recognized by anybody of value or worth. Just never was there. It was a treacherous place to be a man, but we couldn't talk about that to anybody because that's not what men do. Men don't talk about the fact that I'm afraid of failing. I'm afraid of succeeding. I'm afraid of not having the right this or the right that. How is society going to view me? And am I going to be able to have the children that's going to be able to carry on a legacy of success and prosperity? None of that kind of a conversation is being invoked inside relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you could hear the 100 million women over on that side talking about the 100 million men on that side, but you don't have 50 men and women talking about how we can build this phenomenal, powerful.
me, because as a women, we do have our point of reference of, just like the book shared, we're taught to look for this Prince Charming that's going to save us and handle all these things and blah, blah, blah. Yet and still, as he brought up, you know, the burden is on him, and he hasn't been appropriately even trained to, number one, admit that he don't know what the heck he's even talking about, what he's looking for, deal with the fact that we still want you in the right pair of shoes at the right event at the right time, know which brown goes with what, what's the difference between brown, nude, and black, and all these other things. So I think that that's a powerful point, and that's one of the things that I have the opportunity to see and witness intergenerationally. So that's from the single market all the way down to the millennials now, that, you know, people have these ideologies and these roles that we are very pretentious in playing. However, when we come down to the finances and really understanding it, most people don't understand it. Every, on both sides, everyone is really green. So having someone that you really can trust and talk to and just be open and really be naked, like, I just don't get it, let me just ask you the question, is really, really, really important, because family, we all need each other to be able to make this thing called life really work. So it's pressure on all ends. But at the end of the day, as we are pretending to put on these different roles of whatever society you're trying to play in, just remember to consult with the right people and build the right support system. So we're really able to build the right community and village within our community. So that was a really great point. Really, really, really great point. Thank you so much.
Good morning.
Before you move on, I wanted to just speak to what Emir said. I wanted to just say thank you, Emir, for the opportunity to let us think about the fact of the pressures that men have just showing up as a man, especially as an African-American man. So I just wanted to say thank you for that, because we don't acknowledge or sometimes even think about the pressures that it takes to be a man, the pressure to provide, the pressure to this, the pressure to that, and not having the role models to even model after, to even understand. So I just wanted to acknowledge and say thank you for that. Go ahead, Rosa.
I'm gonna, before we turn it over to someone else, I'm going to leave with my financial tip of the week so I can jump off here, Janine. I have an appointment here.
Okay, babe.
Okay. So I just wanted to leave with my financial tip of the week. Again, just making sure that we are leaving proper income protection for our family members. This is pretty much working, dealing for those who are already still in the working sector. So this isn't going to be for my retired folks this week. But if you are actually still working, there is a plan, as we had talked about probably a month ago. I just wanted to really just bring it back to the forefront for income protection. Issue ages are 18 to 61. You could actually receive a monthly max amount income of $2,000 a month. And this is in case you get totally or partially disabled, okay? The good thing about this is you can have this benefit that'll pay out for a whole year, 2 years, or even up to 3 years. Now, of course, if you want this benefit to pay out for 3 years or instead of just 1 year, you do understand that the premiums that you're going to pay is going to be a little bit, you know, more expensive. Not expensive, but it's going to be more in alignment with the fact that you wanted to pay out for 3 years. But I think this is a great thing to definitely have, because, as we just talked about, with people working, with the husband working, and, you know, the woman is already looking for him to be her Prince Charming or whatever, the last thing we need is the added pressure of, if he's disabled and cannot go to work, he hurt his arm or whatever the case may be, or same thing for her, and that money stops coming in, guys. You want to have another type of source of income that's going to be able to come in, and that's where this actually kicks in at. So if you have any other questions about it, definitely feel free to reach out to me. My name is Chastity A. Wells. I'm not on social media at this time, so please just reach out to me directly at 614-230-6600. Again, my direct contact number is 614-230-6600. You can reach out to me either voice or via text. I will answer. Or you can visit me at my website at www.chastityawells.com. Love Journey, thank you so much for the opportunity to serve. Thank you, lovely goddess Janine. Thank you to my beautiful mother, who's always on the line. I love you so much. Thank you for your support and just love and just seeing you, mother, and just creating me and giving me this life. So I thank you and I honor you today. Happy July to my family. I love you all. Call me if you need me. Thank you, Janine.
Have a great day. Okay, go ahead, Rosa. All right, I guess Rosa don't want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
No. I couldn't find my phone.
Is that where you left it? Your phone was given by your friend.
Pretty much, Omar. You know me very well, Otto. It was right beside my purse. I had a conversation. I was raised like you, Janine, from family to family in my within my family. There was an outside people, but one of the things that my guardian and his wife taught me about finances is that when you combine incomes, you can actually have an experience of wealth. You know, they bought 3 homes. And I had a conversation with my, and two of them are rentals that they still have, paid for and everything. And so it's all income except for the tax part. I had a conversation with my aunt who's almost 80 now. And she said recently, she said, Rosa, she said, you know, I could not get your uncle to buy the townhouses right down the street. They were only being sold for $20,000 at that time, and he didn't want to move into it. And I said, and I am so not happy. So now what I thought about when she was telling me that is that the difference between the women of that were born in the 30s or 40s is that they actually listened to their husband. They really didn't have, even though my aunt was a supervisor with a social worker, she was making good money. My uncle and aunt both made good money. But she didn't have enough gumption to go ahead and buy the house, even though she knew it was a good investment. Now, here, fast forward to 2016 and my daughter and her husband. My daughter, in her business, has 3 shops. And she also manages her own money. They had combined money, and then she had her own money in that marriage. You know, I come from a time where girls went to college to find a husband, and a lot of them did. A lot of them only went there to get a good husband, and they dropped out in their freshman year after they got married, had babies, and they were all right. And then come 2016, their husband is dead, and now they have to take care of their own finances, and they just kind of plop their life into this man's hands. You know, I've seen this time and time again, but now we are becoming more aware, both male and female, and that we have to do this jointly, but we have to do it also alone. You know, you have to really kind of work together to maintain wealth and to get wealthy, but you also have to look at it, well, I can probably afford to buy that shop or open my business, and you pray that each partner will support, be a support system for whatever they decide to do. We are definitely in a whole nother mindset in 2016. Growth is amazing. It makes me proud to still be here, to see how youngsters, and I can call you guys, a lot of you youngsters, how you do this thing called life financially. You know, I'm just amazed. I always knew that I didn't want a man to take my life in his hands. I wanted to support him like I wanted him to support me. I haven't gotten there yet, but I haven't gotten to the point where I share that whole experience, but it's coming. I want to be taken care of, yes, but not like that. You know, I want a combined effort where we're doing 100% for each other. It's in all forms, especially financing.
All right.
You know, because you can still maintain. You can still become wealthy. You can still get property. You can still do all that you wanted to do when you were 21,
okay,
even if you're 64. So just keep moving forward.
All
and
right.
This book is going to help us get there.
Thank you, Rosa. All right, I'm going to give it over to Amir, and then we're going to turn it over to Jackie to do our affirmation.
One of the most powerful thing about our relationships with money as well as with one another is the terminology that we've been programmed by society to use so easily and so freely without knowing exactly what they mean. For instance, a lot of us, after the recognizing that women were underutilized and over were abused, I use that word without just defining it to a physical abuse, we teach our young girls to be independent. Well, that word independent is extremely dangerous to family, extremely dangerous to society at large as well, because when you look at nature, there is nothing independent of itself. I had a gentleman tell me, yes, there is. Only thing independent is a black woman. I said, no, they're not. There is not one black woman that has her fine car. She didn't even print her own money to buy that fine car. She's only misunderstood about how this all works. I went to a conference once, and Bill Gates was the keynote speaker. He was introduced as the world's as an independent wealthy man. The very first thing Bill Gates said when he got up, he said, I got to wait, one correction. I am not independent wealthy. And the guy sitting beside me said, who do you think he's fooling? He's on Forbes' top list as the number one. He said, before the guy could finish, Bill Gates said, had it not been for each and every one of you buying my idea of a product, I would have not been anything but living in my garage under my mama's house. I am interdependently wealthy because of the people who bought my ideas and my services. So I appreciate you for making me who I am today. So I start thinking about that. Independent, interdependent. It's a big difference, but those are words we don't get told that we have to build as a unit, as a community. We must find someone that we could be interdependent upon to build our dreams, our goals, our desires, our aspirations. Women become interdependent or interdependable to be utilized in a system together. Men, likewise, become interdependable so that you can provide the same powerful service. T. Harv Eker said, are you teachable? When you're teachable, then you can learn how to become interdependent upon everything that's being offered here for your benefit of God. It's everywhere you look, if you're taught how to look, what to look for, and what it really means, then we won't be using words haphazardly that has no definitive meaning to what we really desire to have in our lives. We got to start listening before we speak.
All right.
I love you.
Love you too. Thank you for your comments. All right, Jackie, we're going to call you in and do our Reverend Knight. We haven't done it. We got to get back to calling forth our money. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's call that money in this morning. Let's do it, Jackie. Let's do it. Let's do it, Jackie.
All right. Yes, yes, yes.
Let's hey, Jackie, do that dance. Do that dance, Jackie. Do that dance.
I'm doing it. Yes, yes. All right, family. Yes. Getting pumped up with that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Y'all feeling that? Yes, 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 yes. Woo. Yes, I'm feeling that, Lady Love. I'm feeling that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I needed that right there, right there. I love it, I love it, I love it. Come on, family. You know what we do at this time. We're going to do our Reverend Ike affirmation here. So it is on the Love Journey Facebook page. Pull it up. If you got it on your phone, pull it up in your phone. If you already know by heart, pull it up in your heart. We're going to all do this together on the count of three. We got this money, this Reverend Ike money affirmation. One, two, three. Come on, y'all. Money, I'm calling you into my life.
Money, I'm calling you into my life.
Oh, money, I know you hear me.
Money, I know you hear me.
Yes, yes, yes. Money right here and right now. I'm telling you, money, you love me.
I'm telling you right here and right now, money, you love me.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, money, you know you welcome in my hands, in my pockets, and in my life all the time.
Money, you know you welcome into my hands, into my life, into my bank accounts, into everywhere my experience, anytime.
Yes, yes. Oh, I open my heart and my mind to money in all forms.
Yes, I open my mind and my heart to money in all forms.
Yes, we got banknotes.
Banknotes.
Certificates of deposits.
Certificates of deposits.
Stocks and bonds.
Stop the bus. Woo!
Oh, you know how that cash feels. Cash, cash, cash. Money, cash,
right,
money.
Right. Cash, baby. We talking cash money.
Oh, yes. I open my life into money thoughts. Wait, excuse me. I open my life to money through my loving, appreciating attitude.
I open my life to money, money, money. Through my loving, appreciating attitude.
Oh, yes. Money serves me in divine right ways.
But, ooh, money serves me in divine right ways.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, money is wonderful stuff, and I let it multiply, multiply, multiply in my life.
Ooh, money serves me in divine right ways, and I let it multiply, 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 multiply in my life.
Oh, yes. Thank you, God and me, for money.
Thank you, God and me, for money.
Yes, yes, family. That's our Reverend Ike affirmation for our money. I love you all. Namaste.
Woo, woo. Did y'all feel that? Did you feel it?
Love it.
Yes. Woo. Thank you, thank you, Jack, Jack. Thank you, Jack, 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 Jack. Thank you, Jack, Jack, Jack. All right, it's Friday, July 1st. Monday is July 4th. Guess what? We will not be back together until Tuesday. We're going to have the whole weekend, and I want you to have a happy 4th weekend. I want you to have a happy Friday, love-filled, money-filled, and know that life is so excited that you was planted on this earth. Did you know that life was excited just because you came to the planet? Did you know the universe was dancing when the day you was born?
Well, I want to remind you today that your life is really a gift from God. And what you do with that life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember not to just dream, but live your God-sized dream. I see you Tuesday, July the 5th. And all the birthdays this weekend. Happy birthday to Vera Michelle Robinson. Yes, yes, yes. You know it, you know it, you know it. It's your birthday today. It's your birthday today. Happy birthday. Any other July birthdays from here to Monday, happy birthday, family. We love you. We support you. And we want you to know you mean the world to us. Thank you for showing up on the planet. All right. Music Soul Child. Love.
I'm afraid I don't know how, 'cause there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change, 'cause love. So many people use your name in vain. Love. Those who have faith in you sometimes go astray. Love. Through all the ups and downs, the joys and hurts. To know you, longing for your kiss, for your kiss, touch, for your feel, for your presence. Many nights I've cried from the things you do, felt like I could die from the thought of losing you. I know that you're real, with no doubts and no fears and no questions.
Oh,
All right. You've been tuned in to The Love Journey, and today was Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe. I hope you got something for it. And remind yourself, you don't have to be an under-owner. You don't have to underestimate your worth. You can take your life to the next level just by being intentional about your money. Check you out on Tuesday. Have a great 4th of July weekend. We are off on the 4th of July. See you on Tuesday, July 5th. Let's have some fun. And invite a friend to the line. Let's invite some friends to get this healing, get this information, y'all. All right, I love you. Have a great day.